I'm thankful what God's done. As I begin to think about Calvary, look in Luke chapter 23, will you turn in your Bible also over to John chapter 10 and hold your place there. We were blessed this morning in Sunday school as Brother Barry was going through the Word of God, and I thought when he got to going, I said, he's going to preach my whole sermon. All I have to do is get up and say amen at the end. But I want you to look with me. We talked about three things in particular. Now, next Sunday, here's our schedule next Sunday, 6:30 sunrise. Now, it don't rise at 6:30. We'll be here at 6:30, and it's a little later. You know that, about 10 minutes to 7, quarter to 7, when the sun is start coming up. But we'll have a good service. It'll run roughly an hour, maybe not quite an hour. Have great singing, and I'll share the Word of God. I'll preach a message, and then we'll go back and have breakfast. And here's the rule. On those Sunday mornings when we have sunrise service, I preach until I can smell country ham and I get through in a hurry. So you come at that, and then we'll have Sunday school hour like normal, and then a great worship service at 11 o'clock. Brother Lynn was putting together a musical program for us to celebrate, and we'll do the 30 pieces of silver at the end of that all time. It'll be a wonderful time to come and celebrate and rejoice like Brother Justin's challenged about, be thankful for what he's done for us on Easter Sunday morning, and those Sunday night services next Sunday night. We will try to baptize the first Sunday of May. For those of you who've been saved or want to be baptized, and some of you who were baptized a long time ago and you know now that you're saved and you want to be baptized, and we'll talk to you about that, but we're glad you're here. But in these few messages, I've had a chance to share with you about the cross. There were three things this year that God spoke to my heart about. Number one was the place. Of all the places on the earth that I've ever been, we've been to as far as Bar Harbor, Maine on the East Coast. We've saw Niagara Falls and all of the beauty there in Maine, and we've come all the way back down through here, all the way to Key West, Florida, and we've seen beautiful things. We've traveled to the Philippines, and in doing that, we were in Tokyo and some other countries as we traveled. I went and preached in Germany. And around the world, I love it out west, the Grand Tetons and the Rocky Mountain National Park. No, man, that's awesome. And then the Yellowstone, beautiful places. But there's no place on earth like Calvary. It's still there. Now, you can still see the skull. It's eroded some over the years, but they say in that tradition, whether it's that one or not, but it does picture what I think the Bible says about it. But at that moment in time, the God of this universe, as no other time in history, was focused on one little hill, Calvary. Look what it says in this verse, then chapter 23 of the book of Luke. Verse 32, there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. When they come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Calvary. There's no place in the world like Calvary. That's where God offered his darling son. That's where he suffered and bled and died. That's where he experienced our torment and hell and our separation from God. It's an awesome place. It's a wonderful place, Calvary. Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. But my dear friend, I came to Calvary, and mercy there was great and grace was free at Calvary. I was telling Brother Roland, I came over and prayed last night, and I get out there and I worship the Lord. Last night, God met with me and I sang. I sang at Calvary over and over. I should have recorded it and I could have played it this morning. But I asked Roland, I got to thinking about and sang part of an old song. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore. There's no place like Calvary. But then we started talking about the people of Calvary. And all that we saw the believing thief. And then we saw a panoramic view last week of all those around the cross, real people just like you that witnessed Calvary. They reacted in 100 different ways to Calvary. They saw 100 different things at Calvary, but there were some who believed. And I'm thankful for that. This morning, I wanted to share with you, and I'll do it just real briefly, but I'm trusting. Don't take the Holy Ghost of God long to do something. I think He's already done something in the announcements and testimonies and singing the choir. And the choir was awesome this morning. And special music, Brother Levon. God's always all over Levon. And what a blessing. But I want you to look in John chapter 10. I will take time to read these verses, and then I'll share with you a few things. John chapter 10, look at verse number 7. And then Jesus said unto them again, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Listen to what He said. "I am come that they might have life and that it might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." The purpose of Calvary. Heavenly Father, I have been blessed to overflowing already by the choir, the congregational singing, Brother Levon singing from his heart. God, for Lewin and Julia just now, our Father, not only the anointing and blessing on them this morning, but reminiscing in my mind and heart about great times we've all had together here and across this country in revivals. God, You've been so good to me. God, You've been good to all of us. And our Father, when it's all said and done, there was one purpose to Calvary. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Oh, Lord, please don't let anybody in the sound of my voice in this building nor in the media audience, Lord, die lost without Christ. I prayed they'd be saved in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you a few things just really quickly this morning. The purpose of Calvary. Number one, it was for Him to prove His love for us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Calvary is the proof of that love. You can say you love somebody, but they need to see your love. They need to know your love. And God said to me and you and to all mankind, I love you. He so loved the world, every person in it, that He gave His Son. It is the proof of His love. He gave His Son to prove that He loves you. Would you give your Son for anybody? Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I wouldn't give my Son hardly for anybody. But Paul said there are some occasions that some would die for a righteous person. Some might would even die for a good person. But God supersedes all of that kind of love, because He died for us while we were yet sinners. I don't care who you are, how wicked you are, God gave His Son for you. It proves His love. Then also, it is to proclaim His righteousness. He describes it in Romans chapter 3 and verse 25. You see, in the Old Testament, God poured out His wrath in measure. During the times of Noah, He poured out His wrath and He said, the end of all flesh shall come for me and I'll destroy everything in whose nostril is the breath of life, and He did. But after that, every judgment He sent was measured. David said, in wrath remember mercy, even to wicked Israel and Judah. Although He sent them into captivity, He still had mercy on them. And He still made a promise to them, I'll keep you even at bondage. In other words, He did not pour out His wrath unmeasured. He did not pour out all of His wrath on them. There was always a remnant. There was always some reservations. He talks about in the New Testament, Paul looking back, he talks about the long-suffering of God, that God did not pour out all His wrath on mankind. But on Calvary, He did. He poured out to the very last drug. Christ said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me, but nevertheless, not my will be done. He's talking about the cup of His wrath. And on Calvary, God poured out every bit of His wrath on sin in the person of His Son. And it was so awesome and so powerful that that death paid the atonement and the sin debt of all the whole world, past, present, and future. It was so powerful that that redemption carries us not only for our past sin, our present sin, but for our future sin. He poured out all of His wrath, and it proved Him to be righteous, a holy God that must judge sin. He does not ignore your sin, nor did He ignore my sin. He judged my sin in the person of Christ. He poured out all of His wrath. Not only did He send, not only does Calvary prove His love and proclaim His righteousness, but there the promises are fulfilled. He said in the book of John in chapter number 19 and verse 28 from the cross, He said this. Let me turn over there quickly to that passage of Scripture. In John chapter 19 and verse number 28, He makes this statement. And He said, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. And He said, I thirst. He came to fulfill all the promises of the Old Testament in His own person in regard to Messiah, in regard to His sacrificial death and dying. He fulfilled perfectly all the plan of God. He died also to purchase us. The book of 1 Peter, it says, we're not redeemed as corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. He purchased us body, soul, and spirit. He paid our sin debt. I had a friend down in Florida, Brother LeGrand Pickles, and when he testified, he'd get real happy and rejoicing. And he'd say, it's good to know you paid for. I mean, He paid the debt in full. It was free, and it was full, and it was forever. Oh, my dear friend, He died that the power of Satan might be destroyed. In the Word of God, in the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, listen, for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil. The devil thought he had Him. He had Him mutilated in the trial, had it hung on a cross, saw Him die, and he thought he was the victor. But oh my, how deceived he was. And you'll see that in through the eyes of Peter. And by that death, he defeated all, the Bible said, the works of the devil. I'm thankful for that. But oh, my dear friend, He died to purchase the church. That's the purpose of Calvary. The Bible said that He loved, that husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. He died a ransom to buy the body of Christ. He died to purify us by His blood. And the Bible said that we are cleansed from all sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cleansed us. But He also died on Calvary that one day He might present us without spot or wrinkle before the Father. And I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of spots and a lot of wrinkles. Some of them have to do with age. Some of them have to do with blood thinners. But when I stand before Him, not just physically, but spiritually, I'll be without a spot or wrinkle. And I've got more spots and wrinkles spiritually than I do physically. But my dear friend, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because of anything I've done nor you've done, but one of these days we'll stand before God the Father without spot and without blemish and without wrinkle because of what He did on Calvary. But can I say to you in closing this morning, what was the purpose of Calvary? The Lord Jesus Christ in John 17, where Brother Barry was teaching or getting to as he had to quit this morning, he says to the Father, Father, I pray that they might all be where I am, that they might behold my glory. And Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me, and no man comes to me except the Holy Ghost of God draw him. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to end up in heaven because I trusted Jesus Christ. But I'm going to end up in heaven because Jesus has already prayed that I'd get there and that you'd get there. Thanks to Calvary, I'm thankful for Calvary and the purpose of Calvary was that everybody in this building, everybody in the media audience, everybody that'll hear this on the internet, that you might be saved. I got good news for you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He died to give His life a ransom for you and for me. My dear friend, I hope you know Him today. I want you to obey Him, because that's the only way to be happy in Jesus, is to trust and obey and live for Him. Mind the Holy Ghost. Do what He wants you to do. Maybe He's leading you to trust Christ today. Listen to Him. You'll never regret it. How many people in here got saved and you're sorry that you did? Would you raise your hand? You can ask that to 1 million people who've trusted Christ. Nobody will raise their hand. Nobody regrets getting saved. They'll want to know, they all regret waiting so long or not doing it sooner. But anybody that's been saved, that's 100% satisfaction. Some of you, when you go looking for a place to stay, you look at the reviews, and it might, out of 5, it might be in a 3.5 or 2.5. You don't want to stay there. You're looking for a 5. But very seldom do you ever even find a 5. You won't find hardly any place that everybody goes there is happy or satisfied with. But you know what? When He died, the Bible says He was the propitiation for our sin. That means that He perfectly satisfied all the just demands of God on us, and that we now stand before the Father justified, just as if we've never sinned. And when you get to heaven, and even now, you'll be 100% satisfied. Brother Bear sings that wonderful song, "I'm satisfied with Jesus," but my question comes to me, is He satisfied with me? I don't think He is all the time in my physical or current body. But when I get to heaven, so far as all of my sin, He is perfectly satisfied, because He forgave me, not for my sake, but for the sake of His dear Son who died for me and you. Will you bow your heads in prayer? I did go over a little bit, but I'm glad that I'm able to be here. I have been so blessed today to be with my friends. I wish I had a chance to shake all of your hands and hug all your necks this morning. But I hope you know I love you. And God's been so good to all of us. We've had so many wonderful times together. But this is just the beginning. In a little while, just in a little while, Brother Barry read this morning, this will all be behind us. No more sorrow. No more separation, no more sadness, no more sickness. And it's for one reason, Calvary. Calvary. That's the only reason that we are going to be in heaven. That was the purpose of His coming. I came, He said, to give my life for the sheep, that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Lord, I want to thank You for life. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life. But Lord, beyond that, Lord, thank You for abundant life. Oh God, I have been so blessed as a believer. Lord, I failed You so many times, and I've never ever measure up to all that You gave for me. But God, I am so thankful for Calvary. And God, I pray that every believer in here is. And God, I pray that right now, and if they hadn't already, that God, their heart is swollen, their eyes are wet with tears, thinking about what You did for them. Lord, I was blessed as the choir sang, Levon this morning, the congregation was singing. Lord, the specials with Lima and Julia, because they ministered to my heart. It caused me to think about mercy. Oh God, thank You for that mercy Julia sang about. Mercy is for guilty people. And God, I was so guilty. But God, You saved me so fully. And God, I pray this morning Your people will worship You. And God, maybe some been praying about a church home, some who don't know Christ, some just got a burden. They want to come and get around this altar. I pray, God, they'd obey You. I'm going to ask you to stand while we have our heads bowed. Just stand. Mind the Holy Ghost. Whatever He's telling you to do, just that's all I want you to do. I don't try to beg people to the altar. Don't try to get you down in. I want you just to do what God wants you to do. Tim's down here. Justin's down here. These guys pray with you. If I can help you, I'll come. I like to stay up here where I can watch and pray and just ask God to bless you. But while folks are coming, you come on right now. God leads you to come. Just obey the Holy Ghost. Do what God wants you to do. Thank God for folk who are coming. Thank God for those of you who are right there where you are worshiping the Lord. If you're blessed and you're thankful for Calvary, would you raise your hand this morning toward heaven and wave at Him and thank Him for His mercy and grace?